We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
My name is Mary Roberts. I have the distinct pleasure of serving as the executive director of Frank Lloyd Wright's Martin House. And I'm here to welcome you today as we acknowledge a momentous occasion in the history of the Martin House. In 1901, when Frank Lloyd Wright met with Darwin and Isabel Martin at their first home on Southern Avenue, just a few doors down from where we are now, neither the Martins nor Frank Lloyd Wright could have ever imagined that we would be gathering here today, nearly 118 years later, celebrating this glorious estate and its gardens. In 1992, 90 years later, when founding directors Bob Cressy, John Corton, and Jack Wysocki worked with many other community leaders to create the Martin House Restoration Corporation, our initial vision was certainly grand, but over 25 years it has expanded from a single building, a $10 million project, to the recreation of Wright's entire design for the Martin House estate, including the three residences, the three additional support structures, as well as extensive art glass, furnishings, decorative elements, and landscape. When we cut the floral ribbon on our gardens and landscape for the Martin House today, we will be ushering in a new moment in the history of this National Historic Landmark and New York State Historic Site. We will also be honoring the enduring power of Wright's design principles and the value of architecture, design, and landscape in our lives today. Before I introduce our very special guest of honor and first speaker, permit me to acknowledge some other special guests in attendance. Representing the 27th Congressional District in which the Martin House is located, welcome Brian Higgins, who you will hear from in a few minutes. Welcome also our New York State Senator Chris Jacobs, representing District 60, which includes the Martin House. We also have on hand the Dean of the School of Architecture and Planning, Bob Shibley, on behalf of SUNY UB, as well as New York State Parks Commissioner Eric Kulaside. And we also have a number of people here who are speaking on behalf of our architectural firms, Mark Baer, Matt Meyer from Baer Landscape and HHL Architects, respectively. I'd also like to welcome some of the special guests in the audience. Walking side by side with us over many years has been Graycliff. We welcome Board President Chuck Lefevre. We also have representing Visit Buffalo Niagara today, our tourism marketing agency, Patrick Kaler, Ed Healy. Hey. And also on behalf of the Parks Region, welcome Angela Birdie. Thank you for all you've done to help us over the years. We also are very excited and pleased to be including the Martin House landscape for the first time this year in Garden Walk Buffalo, along with the entire Parkside neighborhood. There will be tens of thousands of guests in our community this weekend enjoying the landscape here at the Martin House and across Buffalo during the 25th anniversary of the largest garden festival in America. So thank you and welcome to Jim Charlier from Garden Walk Buffalo, and Ed Healy, I know, is a board member here on behalf of Garden Walk. We also have representatives from many of our cultural partners. Thank you to the Albright Knox, the Science Museum, the Olmsted Conservancy, and the many others who have joined us today. Thank you, finally, to our many Martin House staff members and to so many of our fabulous volunteers that join us, in particular our Landscape and Gardens Committee that has worked in the grounds here for many years and which is so ably led by Nellie Gardner, a horticulturalist for both the Martin House and Graycliff. Also, I would say, representing ARC Building Partners who have helped us over many years, Frank and Cynthia Simonelli and Vince Kirsch. And a special thank you to John Napier and his outstanding team from Napier and Sons Landscaping. They've worked tirelessly over the past year and a half to rebuild all the gardens and plantings, which so many will enjoy for many decades to come. So thank you all for being here. And now I'm honored to introduce yet again to the Martin House our Lieutenant Governor, who will ceremonially cut our floral ribbon today. And it's especially nice since the Lieutenant Governor was on hand in early 2018 to help us break ground on the project as well. This latest benchmark is one of many times that Kathy Hochul has been here to support, to celebrate, to visit, and to assist the Martin House. She's been an outstanding champion for Buffalo and for the larger Western New York region for many years. We all know that she served as a U.S. Congressional Representative, as the County Clerk. Now as the Lieutenant Governor of our great state, she has been an outstanding leader and a very dynamic elected official. It's always interesting, and I loved a reminder that early in her career as a U.S. congressional aide, she worked with the late U.S. Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who was one of the most important early champions of the Martin House restoration effort on a national scale. And we love the photo we have of Senator Moynihan hugging the pier in the Martin House. But with energy, purpose, and a sense of the possibility, the Lieutenant Governor is someone we can all be very proud of. In one of her many official roles, she chairs the Regional Economic Development Councils that have transformed our state's economies by building upon the regional strengths with our long-term strategic plans, including most notably investing in cultural tourism and as an industry. She appreciates that it is a tide that will lift many boats. And this is not just about historic preservation or a single cultural asset. This is just like the drawing power of Niagara Falls. The Martin House, Frank Lloyd Wright, Greycliffe, these are arguably Western New York's most exportable brand names. We would not be where we are today without our partners at New York State. We are very proud of all that has been accomplished, and we're proud to count Governor Cuomo, Lieutenant Governor Hochul, ESD President Howard Zemsky, and so many others in state leadership as our friends and supporters. So please join me in welcoming Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul to the podium.
Good morning on this extraordinary opportunity to celebrate the completion of a 25-year journey between the house and the garden. To all of you who are here from the very beginning, I bet you thought this day would never come. So congratulations to the true believers, Bob Cressy and Jack Walsh and Mary Roberts and all of you who really had a vision that in its time, when you think about 25 years ago, this was a community that did not realize the incredible potential that was lying untapped. And it took individuals, like enlightened individuals, like our great Congressman Brian Higgins and our leadership in Albany with Governor Cuomo and Chris Jacobs and many others. But this has been a journey of a few individuals who had a true belief that if they could simply re-energize this property, it could be an exceptional attraction to people from around the globe, and that vision has been realized. Today, we mark the completion of 25 years of effort, and I congratulate every one of you involved. Let's give all of you a round of applause. This is an incredible day. Very happy that the state of New York could help a little bit with the money, $25 million and $5 million from the Buffalo Billion. People ask how the Buffalo Billion is spent. It's spent on large projects. It's spent on projects like workforce development on the east side of Buffalo, $100 million to help people have new jobs and opportunities. It's spent a lot of tourism events, but this is one that is going to continue a legacy that was always there but had never been fully unearthed. And now there is a visual manifestation of Frank Lloyd Wright's belief that Buffalo was a place worth investing in, but also celebrating. And he has bragged about this property. You look at his early writings, he called this his opus. And people later, like Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, when I worked for him as a young staffer, I was a young staffer at one point in my life, he would talk about this as a national treasure. Those are his words, not mine. And so I am so proud to be here to know that this community is getting what it deserves. The recognition that has been long overdue. And in fact, when we stood here in May of 2018 and these gardens did not even exist, and I thank the architects for bringing it to life, we had just seen the article in the New York Times, 52 places you need to visit in 2018. Anybody hit all of them? No. This is the one I hit the most, I will be honest with you, and the rest of New York. But this was one of the reasons they mentioned. It was this property, this masterpiece, this jewel that was recognized as one of the reasons you need to come to Buffalo from around the world. And the 40,000 people who came here last year, when they see these gardens and come back for repeat of visits, they and the 19 million people who come to Western New York every single year, we need to get more of them through these doors. But I want to just say this is not just a catalyst for our local economy, the tourism dollars that are going to continue flowing into this community, into these neighborhoods, but also a huge point of pride as New Yorkers. And there's someone who's among us here, our commissioner of parks, who gets to share with me this sense of pride we feel all over the state, Eric Coulisade. We've been everywhere together. We were just in the Catskills last week. I was in the Adirondacks. I get a chance to come back to the Falls many times. But when I think about what really excites me about my hometown, it is the fact that Frank Lloyd Wright, at the cusp of his career, believed in Buffalo. That is the belief that we feel today as Western New Yorkers in 2019. We had a few gaps. Well, we weren't exactly talking proud for a while, but now we know that this is something worth celebrating. And to Mary and to Jack and everyone else who puts your heart and soul into making this become a reality, I am forever grateful as a proud Buffalonian. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you, Lieutenant Governor Hochul, for your sustaining interest in the Martin House, for your words, for your research, for your kindness, for your preparation. You are, as Fernando Lamas once said, marvelous. Thank you. The keynote speaker at our successful Buildings Capital campaign in Eero Saarinen's beautiful Kleinhans Music Hall. Kathy is here today again to install our signature gardens, and we're very grateful. And we proudly recognize Martin House board members who are here today. Founding member Bob Cressy, Sheldon Burlow, Susie Warren and Sylvia Tokaz, Jeff Wellington, John Siegel and Patrick Kaler, Michelle Augusto, Dan Zimmer, and Dean Bob Shibley of the UB School of Architecture and Planning on behalf of UB President Satish Tripathi, former dean and good friend Brian Carter, and Roseanne Stolzenberg, wife of Keith Stolzenberg, our immediate past board president. Would the members of the Martin House board please stand? Thanks to Governor Andrew Cuomo, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, Crystal Peoples and Chris Jacobs, and many supporters in the New York State Assembly and the Senate, and superb assistance from New York State Economic Development, which has been absolutely fantastic, and particularly the leadership of our friend Howard Zemsky, whose leadership on behalf of New York State and his partnership with the governor, even when buying peanut butter in deli stores and talking to the governor on the phone, he was talking about the Martin House. We really appreciate all that that economic development in New York State has done and over two plus decades. We'd like to also salute Erie County and our private sector donors whose individuals, foundations, corporations, and others have given so generously, including our wonderful 400 plus volunteers. We note today five special friends of blessed memory, Stan Lipsey, Bob Wilmers, Bert Notarius, John Corton, and Ted Lowney, whose vision and leadership were essential to our launch, to our passion, to our abiding success. I'd like to thank the University of Buffalo, who donated the Martin House and has routinely provided key programmatic and financial support as our partner. Permit me to add my appreciation to Joel Forletto and to Brian Higgins. How fortunate we are to have your friendship. Thanks for being here. Kudos to Mayor Brown and the City of Buffalo for replanting our heritage elm trees on Jewett Parkway as per the original Olmsted design. A special thank you to Commissioner Eric Kulaside, who I just had the privilege of meeting today, and the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation. It's really been a unique partnership, certainly a direction of support that has benefited us. Their important technical service, conservation guidance, and beautifully restored Wright design furnishings have been essential to our success. And New York State Parks will continue to help us market this site and will continue to support the staff and programs of the Martin House as it is an official New York State historic site and the only 20th century representative in its collection of 36 historic sites. How privileged we are to have the partnership with both New York State Parks and with UB. This restoration has achieved the highest goals of historic preservation, in combination with creating significant economic impact in line with the region and the state's economic development plans. The restored landscape is the final element that will enhance our abilities to promote and interpret Wright's acclaimed organic architecture, so beautifully expressed in the Martin House for the benefit of our community, our state, and for our worldwide visitors. And as the restoration concludes, we have our sleeves rolled up, working to secure the future by creating an endowment fund. As you know, so many nonprofits look back years later and say to themselves, if only we might have started an endowment, if only we might have struck while the iron was hot. And we're sensitive to the generosity of so many here who have contributed to the capital campaign and to the gardens, and we know that there are limits as to your philanthropy. But our stewardship requires us to do the right job and to tie the ribbon on this project appropriately with an endowment, and that's what we're doing. And we have good success. We're about 40% on our $5 million goal, and so we're very excited about that as well. It's our responsibility, all of us, to complete, market, and sustain this Frank Lloyd Wright masterpiece. And as Stan Lipsey once said, shame on us if we don't do it well. Right here in our own backyard, institutions are defined and strengthened and enriched in the length and shadow of their leadership. All of you in this audience are our leaders. Thank you very much.
Next, I would invite Dean Shibley to join us at the podium, please.
I think if you gave Jack Walsh a phone book, he could rivet us for a long time. He just went through an itinerary that made my talk very short, what he said. UB President Satish Tripathi and Provost Chip Zukowski regret that they're traveling today and unable to attend. They are pleased, however, to extend their greetings to all in attendance here and profound congratulations to all who made the restoration of the Martin House complex and its historic cultural landscape possible. Much is made these days of the 50th anniversary of the Apollo mission's success. You might wonder why I bring this up. If I may, I would like to use the metaphor of that mission and suggest the Martin House has been Buffalo's own moon landing. Like Apollo, it seemed like an impossible mission. But in a style of so many moon landings-like projects in Buffalo, today we announce that the Eagle has landed. In the face of you can't do that, this city, region, and state did it. The saga of our Martin House Apollo project goes back decades. A committee convened by the School of Architecture and Planning in the early 80s re-energized discussions on the future of the house, then under its stewardship. By 1992, the Restoration Corporation was founded, the Barton House was acquired on behalf of the corporation just 2 years later, and then by 2002, the title to Martin House was transferred to the corporation from the University at Buffalo. The rest of this history, culminating in the completion of the restoration and transition to operations, is well known by most in attendance. In a world of you can't do that, Apollo projects celebrate the Martin House and its cultural landscape. Recognize related Eagle landings like our Inner Harbor, the Buffalo River Cleanup, Larkinville, the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus, the Richardson Center Complex, and so many more. Then realize that we are not done yet. We are never done. And take a breath. Celebrate this project. Then ask yourself, what next? And let's go back to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I'm not tired yet. We're going to keep working on all these projects. Now, please join me in welcoming our New York State Parks Commissioner, Eric Coulisset, to the podium. Eric?
Thank you for having me here today. It's always a pleasure to join Lieutenant Governor Hochul on these events. She is a great booster to the parks. We've been at campgrounds, we've been at bike paths all over the place this spring, and there's no better friend and ally to us. Obviously, maybe except the governor himself, who has really been a tremendous, as you know, right? We're in the middle of a billion-dollar resurgence of the parks. And it's my honor. I think I have the best job in state government. Sorry, Lieutenant Governor. I think I have the best job in state government. I'm very honored that the governor appointed me to that position earlier this year. obviously his support of the city of Buffalo and historic investments in parks and historic sites has been nothing less than historic and quite amazing. Thank you to Mary also and your staff and your board. You know, this place sets a standard for us. We need to, in this day and age, get more and more out of our friends, groups, and partners, and you all are really the ones who lead the way. You have done more in terms of raising private dollars and public dollars and setting a standard for what our partner groups can do. This is really a flagship historic site for us, and it's really so much to do with your leadership and vision and ambition that is that we're here today. So really, all my acknowledgement to you and your board and your staff and your volunteers. It's really an amazing effort. I think I also just want to say for me, you know, I'm from the Hudson Valley. I only really started coming to Buffalo about 12 years ago when I was on the deputy commissioner on the executive staff. And at that point, I think this pergola was not here. It wasn't that long ago. There'd been an apartment building right here. And I think, and I go back to earlier remarks in that you think about 1992 when this all started, right? And I think this effort is so symbolic, I think, of the resurgence of Buffalo itself and the rise of Buffalo's appreciation for its historic assets and the potential of historic tourism. When you think about that drive that started then, there was a group of people who didn't say we're going to give up on this community. They said we're here to stay. We have the energy. We have the ability to do it. And Bob Cressy, it's great to see you here again. And I think out of this really came that energy that I think helped Buffalo realize that they can do anything. This city can come back and look at it today. It's really what a remarkable place. It's really one of my favorite places to come. I wish the thruway wasn't quite so long, but it is clearly, or that there's a flight from here, but it's really a tremendous place to come. I love coming out here. Our signature park is just up the road. This is really one of our premier assets. And I'm so proud of this group and so happy to be here today and honored to be celebrating with you. So, and I think obviously thanking our friends in the legislature without whom we couldn't do it, Congressman Higgins, it's really, and SUNY Buffalo, it's really been a tremendous group effort here where we all come together. And I just am pleased to be here and honored. Thank you very much.
Great words. Thank you. We're honored to be a New York State Historic Site. Our next speaker is a renowned landscape architect and now can claim the Martin House on his resume, and we couldn't be prouder to welcome Mark Baer from Baer Landscape Architects to the podium.
Good morning. I'm Mark Baer, principal of Baer Landscape Architecture, and I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be here today. To celebrate the opening of this garden and the completion of the overall restoration project at the Martin House. For the first time in over 80 years, we can once again experience the spectacular garden and understand the full vision that Frank Lloyd Wright shared with the Martins, a vision where buildings and landscape were fully integrated. The Martins would be absolutely thrilled with the effort because the garden really was so special and so meaningful to them. And I know Darwin and Isabel would not be at all surprised at how much effort it has taken to put this back in place. And it's been an incredible journey with a lot of people that I want to thank. Mary Roberts, first and foremost, for her leadership throughout this long process, the Martin House staff, Nellie Gardner, Susanna Tejeda, Alex Kuros, Jeff Salmon, and many others at the Martin House have been so helpful to us as we've worked on this project for so many years. Our landscape contractors, John and Sue Napier, Rob Stokes, and the staff of Napier & Sons Landscaping, they've done a wonderful job here, and I can't thank them enough. Our construction managers, Vince Kirsch and Eric Dussel, both of ARC Building Partners. They've been our supporters and helped us throughout this process. Our building restoration architects, Matt Meyer is here with us today. Matt and Jamie Rabideau, who's now formerly of HHL, we've consulted with them for over 5 years on this project to put this together. And I thank you, Matt, and your team. I would especially like to thank the members of our firm, our staff, that have worked tirelessly on this. We have a few alumni. This project has been so long. I want a special, put out a special thanks to Josh Raymore. Josh is in the audience today. Josh has worked tirelessly with me on this project, daily, often nightly. And the attention to this project that he's given, it would not be what it is today without Josh's efforts. This historic landscape journey began over 5 years ago, 5 years and 4 months to be exact, with months and months of research at the UB Archives, the Avery Library at Columbia University, and this was all compiled into a cultural landscape report, a CLR, which documented the evolution of the garden from its very beginnings in the early 1900s, right through to today. The CLR was sort of our guide, and we followed that by a long and complex process of putting the restoration rehabilitation plans together. And then finally, the implementation phase, which is where we recreated all of this, which is here today. And so what are some of the highlights of the project? Well, probably the centerpiece of the project is the flora cycle, which is over to your left. That is blooming once again. And again, after over 80 years, we have that back in place, which was such an important part of the vision. The extensive new plantings along Summit and Jewett, including the American elm trees, which now line the frontage again, and redefined this property for the first time in many, many years. The wisteria vines, some of which are just beginning to show their faces behind us. Fortunately, they were salvaged from the original garden, so we have a piece of the original garden, along with several other plants, some spirea in the flora cycle and a few other things that are from the original garden. Fortunately, they were salvaged. The long perennial borders behind me and on the other side of the pergola, and the plantings at the Barton House, at the carriage house, at the conservatory, and the gardener's cottage, all have been brought back to this place. And there's so many other features, I can't even begin to touch on them all. We just don't have time to talk about them today. One of the interesting things for me has been just watching this happen, and this place looks nothing like when we came. And in my memory is that flat open lawn that we became so accustomed to. And now it's in its early stages of a return to that much lusher, much more dense planted landscape that Darwin and Isabel so cherished. Reintroducing the garden finishes an incredible picture, a masterpiece by a visionary architect, Frank Lloyd Wright. It was completed with a lot of support by a very, 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 very devoted client group, the Martins and Wright staff. And I want to mention most notably Walter Burley Griffin, who had a whole lot to do with the planted landscape here and doesn't get a whole lot of recognition for his early work on this project. Martin House landscape, the Martin House itself, is unquestionably a jewel for the city of Buffalo, for the state of New York, and it's really a national treasure and arguably an international treasure. So thank you very much for coming out today and taking a look at this project.
Now just join me at the podium, please, and welcome Matt Meyer from HHL Architects.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to keep this brief and just say, whew, we made it. I am one of the owners of HHL Architects, Hamilton House and Lowney Architects, which is a proud Buffalo-based architectural firm celebrating our 50th year this month, in fact. And for 27 years, since 1992, more than half of our life, we've been working on this masterpiece. And as a young architect, or even before I became an architect, if someone would have said, hey, you're gonna spend half of your career working on a Frank Lloyd Wright building, you know, I would have said you're nuts. But if you knew Ted Lowney, and I had 30 years of my life spent with Ted, it's a unique pleasure to get to know an architect who can really absorb a client's demands and needs and realize it into something remarkable. And Frank Lloyd Wright certainly was one of those kinds of fellows. Some people like him, some people don't like him, like the chairs, don't like the chairs, that's your choice. But you can't deny that Frank Lloyd Wright was prolific, and he was a visionary, and he designed a building like this 115 years ago that looks like it could have been designed today, and that's pretty remarkable. We, in this 27 years of devotion to this project, have worked with dozens and dozens of firms. I didn't make a list to name them all, but there are remarkable people, Bob Cressy, John Corton, John O'Hearn, Jack Wysocki, all these guys that saw the vision of this project and wanted to make it happen. And one of the things that I'm proud of, even though I'm not the landscape architect, Mark has the privilege to be that for this restoration. Frank Lloyd Wright approached design not just as a building and then decided to cover it with some landscape. These spaces we're sitting in today are part of his design. They're part of the design solution for the building. So they're outside rooms. And it's remarkable that after such a crazy moonshot effort that we're now here today and celebrating this wonderful completion of an opus again. So I want to thank Ted Lowney in his memory and his family. I want to thank Jamie Robideau, who devoted a decade and a half of his time, and the dozens of people who have helped me and my firm help Mark and all the other people bring this to a conclusion. So thank you all.
It really has taken a village. So we have two elected officials today that we'd like to hear from. First on the list is our renowned New York State Senator, Chris Jacobs.
I thought our congressman was going to go first, so I apologize. But thank you very much, Mary, for the opportunity to say a few words. With all those that have been so involved in this, I'm humbled to be invited to say anything. I guess I'm fortunate that I'm lucky enough to have both Darwin, Martin, and Gray Cliff in my Senate district. So some people have said it's gerrymandered for other reasons. I think it's gerrymandered to make sure they're both in there. So, and actually, I have a lot more too that Tilling has. I'd like to count how many Frank Lloyd Wright houses I do have in the district. But I just wanted again congratulate everyone who is here today and everyone who is not with us today for the culmination of the decades of work. I have a small real estate development company and not doing much because of my day job right now, but I've had a small office for almost 20 years now in the Larkin Building in 701 Seneca Street. And the parking lot I park in across the street is rather nondescript lot, but it's unfortunately notorious because it is where the former Larkin Administrative Office building was that was torn down, I don't know exactly what year, but Frank Lloyd Wright designed a one-of-a-kind, and unfortunately at the time it was in disrepair, and the folks at that point didn't appreciate what we had, and it was torn down, and I think it's ranked as one of the top 10 most atrocious demolitions in the country. So I just want to thank everyone who has been involved that this was not on that list. And far from it, that it has come to this point where we're celebrating this today. So again, to Jack Walsh and Bob Cressy and everyone who's been on this road, and I think this presentation articulated all those involved, both on the funding side, the acquisition of the property side, and the implementation side, all that has gone into this. And on a broader statement on our region, I was talking to a friend of mine who I went to high school with recently, who had not been back to Buffalo for 7 or 8 years, and he said he just couldn't believe. He said, I hardly recognized the place of all the things that have happened in that short period of time. And I agreed with him, it really wasn't that short period of time. It was a very long period of time of people, like in this instance, working for decades. It's just that a lot of it is coming in culmination in a window, and we are very grateful for this project and others. And I think that as Jack Walsh mentioned, his focus now on the endowment, in the broader sense, I think that's our obligation to make sure that these projects, this one and others that are helping propel us forward, that there is continued support moving forward, and obligation on us, the next generation, to make sure we can continue to support them, sustain them, and move other projects that are necessary to continue for our region to grow, to thrive. So again, congratulations to everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you, Senator. And now the gentleman who's the second most famous guitar player that's ever been here, our U.S. Congressman Brian Higgins.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you very much. Mary's making reference when the Rolling Stones was here. She didn't invite me. I'm over it for the most part. But I was reminded, first of all, to our great friend and our Lieutenant Governor, Kathy Hochul, not only a product of the Western New York community, but the pride of the Western New York community. She's a great friend to all of us. She's working in administration under Governor Cuomo that's doing good and great things for a city that's on the rise. You know, Buffalo is the talk of the nation. The Economist magazine, the New York Times, the Boston Globe, the Toronto Sun, People magazine, top 100 things that are good about America. Buffalo's 19, right underneath the Jonas Brothers. But when you think about the relationship of Darwin Martin and Frank Lloyd Wright, it was a tortured relationship. It was not easy. You know, they gave new meaning to the phrase cost overruns. But it shows you the critical importance of not only the artist, but the patron of the arts, the benefactor of the arts. Reminded of the long-term commitment that Jack Walsh has made to this extraordinary project. And I know he's been mentioned several times, of Bob Cressy. Bob Cressy has not only been a leading figure behind this effort, he's been a leading figure behind every historic restoration project in Western New York, and particularly during Buffalo's darkest days. So Bob Cressy, we honor you today for your commitment to this project and so much that the Wendt Foundation and you have been behind here in Buffalo and Western New York. And finally, the great American narrative historian, David McCullough, says that the most unique art form is architecture because we live in it and amongst us. It's essential to civilization, and it's important to define a community and the people of a community. This place was in rough shape 3 decades ago, and it was brought back to life with great grandeur and beauty in the natural environment, which was the tradition of Frank Lloyd Wright. This is a day to celebrate. This is a day to celebrate all that is good about Buffalo. And every time we look at this great architecture that defines us, always remember this. You know, we had works in this city from Henry Hobson Richardson to Louis Sullivan to Daniel Burnham to Louise Bethune, Frank Lloyd Wright, Frederick Law Olmsted. None of them were from Buffalo. They came to Buffalo because this was a community that said to them, you can get your vision turned into something real. That is what we celebrate here today with this project and the great giants that were such a big, big part of it. Thank you for including me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.